This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Walking a very thin line, I am, folks. You see, the Amuthan isn't only not feeling up to 100%, but then if I go making any smart aleck remarks, especially about how much she loves sports, last week some great sports segments, we're about to do one now, and then I make fun of little things, you know, just comments, critiques, I have to remember, there's now GO Train service from between London and Toronto.
Yep. That's right. It's a dangerous thing.
That's right. Yeah, that four-hour journey, you could either get angrier or fall asleep. So, well, I'm going to bank on you'd fall asleep on the train before it even got here.
Most likely.
Back halfway to Toronto before you woke up. Let's talk sports as we welcome in the host of the Neutral Zone, Brock Richardson.
As a former athlete, I eat, sleep, and breathe everything sports. I'm Brock Richardson. Join me every Monday for your weekly sports highlights and our take on the weekend action.
Well, off the top, we always ask Brock, what is your leadoff item? But he's like a chameleon. It always changes. He's added something. Sir, where are we beginning?
Well, Ramya, if you weren't picked on a little bit by Kelly, you'd have to be concerned, wouldn't you?
I guess that is true. Yeah, we've created the norm.
You watch what you say. The GO train does stop in Kitchener.
It absolutely does. I am very careful with the things I say to Romeo because you never know what might happen.
Scary?
No, not that scary. Just a little bit. I got two leadoff items for you today. Defensive back. Darrell Taylor of the Seattle Seahawks was involved in a very scary play towards the end of the fourth quarter in yesterday's Monday night game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, he was trying to stop someone on a third down play, and the impact was down by his neck. And when you hear the sound of the impact, It was like two cars colliding, like almost metal on metal was the sound that I could think of, with the helmets colliding and the neck, etc. Darrell laid on the field for several minutes and was moving his extremities. After about 5 or 6 minutes, they did a lot of immobilizing of the athlete, and he was moving his extremities when he was being carted off the field. Having said that, after the game, he was gone to the hospital and was cleared to go home with the team. So this is a positive thing, because when you have that kind of impact, it's very scary. And a lot of people say when you play football, it's like getting in, you know, 20 or 30 car accidents in the same game. So that's kind of the criticism of football, but glad to see that he is okay and was able to go home with the team, because when I was watching it, I'm thinking, I don't know if he's going to be able to go home, but sure enough, he was. So
it's funny too, Brock, not funny, obviously, anyone getting hurt, but when you watch NFL games, CFL games, you're going to see somebody hurt. In each half, each quarter, almost somebody gets some kind of injury where so-and-so's down, or that discussion is there, and you just wonder, you know, what actually goes on. Like, you know, hey, man, they play once a week because they got to nurse all their bruises and stuff like that. But you're often talking about somebody out with a shoulder or somebody done for a season.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a very injury-prone sport. There's a reason they get into their ice baths after the game, and that's just kind of to numb this sore body, because even if there is no injury, there is a lot of soreness involved in football when you're considering guys weighing, a lot of it being muscle, but 250 to 350 pounds coming at you in a football game. That's a lot of weight and muscle mass coming at one individual at times.
Yes, sir.
So good news there for sure. I wanted to chat a little bit about reviewable plays in Major League Baseball. Now, you'll remember if we go back to Game 5 against the Dodgers and San Francisco, Wilmer Flores was called for a swinging strike, which was a questionable call of a swinging strike. Now, there wasn't a lot of pushback after the game from San Francisco. There was a little bit of, we know that that was a questionable call, especially to determine the game. Having said that, the narrative that came out of that game was, oh, you know, maybe it's something we should review. And my rebuttal to that is, if we're going to review every waking thing, why don't we just take away the umpires from a human level and just go with robots and figure out some way to call everything, you know, straight and narrow? I just, there's a part of me that likes the human element to sporting events, and people make mistakes, you know, like, sure, you don't want it to cost your team, you know, the World Series or a series in general, but I think there has to be a little bit of patience and understanding in regards to the fact that, look, people are going to make mistakes. And that was his interpretation. And if you look at the swing from certain angles, it was closer than some would argue when you really slow it down. And again, I'm talking about slowing it down. When it happens at game speed, this happens really quickly. And Kelly, I'm curious what your thoughts. Would you make this a reviewable play if it happens at this time of the game, or where do you kind of sit on this?
You're going to have to find those that moments where it is necessary, but then people are going to say every time it's necessary, it's going to slow the game down, is their huge fear of so much replay stuff, and people who are the younger crowd that they want to get involved in each sport start saying, forget it, you people do nothing but review stuff, you know, like, come on, just get it right the first time, which the intolerance of people is going to call for that. And you can say, well, yeah, but there's human error involved in this kind of thing. We can't necessarily get it right. But then, Brock, when it comes to baseball, the players often know in any sport, I can't even just say baseball, oh, Brock's calling this game. His strike zone is smaller. His strike zone is, man, you can chase a ball into the stands, he'll call it a strike or whatever. Like, there are things the players, from seeing these guys, the pitchers and the batters, that they know. I'm not sure if that should be have any bearing on the subject, because I guess technically, no, it shouldn't. A strike zone should stay the same for every person umpiring, but I'm not sure how much of that is human judgment, human error, or the right they have to call the game when it comes to that latitude the way they see it.
But again, like, let's take a look at a few times in the early going of the National Hockey League. There's been reviewable plays of kicking motion, and there's discrepancy in that. And that is
same with the NBA, right? When someone kicks out.
Right. Like, that is still taking into, you know, judgment. Account of someone's judgment. So you could review this until the cows come home, but there's still going to be, someone's going to be happy with the call. Someone isn't, no matter whether you put it in review or you don't.
Or so whether you have robot or human.
Yeah, and that's where I caution fans who say, oh, that should be reviewable. Yeah, I still think there's an argument to be made if people want to make arguments that this should have been called one way or another.
And that's when I call upon people like Ramya. Like, she's not a sports fan. If you ever hope to get her involved or interested, and when I say you, Rum, I mean people in general in kind of your shoes, or people who may say, yeah, neutrality. I kind of like to get to know the sport a little bit. Oh my gosh, they're stopping again. Oh my God. This game took 4 hours for 9 innings. Why?
Yeah, and you already know the type of way that I watch sports, that's going to be something I complain about. But
Rummy is screaming out, this game took 9 minutes for like 9 innings. Why?
Yeah, why? Can we get the speed play version? Okay, Brock, your thoughts on the two MLB series currently going on?
You'd have to watch Blue Jays in 30 to get the speed play of Major League Baseball. That's about as speedy as you'll get Major League Baseball these days. Anyways, my other thoughts on the two series that are remaining, I am loving what I'm seeing with the Houston Astros and Boston Red Sox. A lot of people don't like this series. I expect this series to go six games or seven games. I think it's a really close series, and it could go either way. It's 1-1 as we sit here at the moment. The Atlanta Braves, I am really rooting for the Atlanta Braves. I want to see the Atlanta Braves, who seemingly always seems to be there in this point in the season, and they just never can get over the hump. They've won the first two games in the series, and this is a good start. And the Dodgers have been there, done that, and it's time for another team to get involved. And I like what the Atlanta Braves have done from a younger team and kind of building their way up. And it's about time that they kind of make the next step.
Oh, good grief. I'm not adhering to any of the teams left. My gosh. Oh, it's a good, this is where Jeff Reimann's take a nap during a ball game thing. And Rumyas, it's really comes into play for me sometimes watching these. I just like, guys, I don't love any of these teams, but I'm going to switch on that, Brock, over to the NBA, because something interesting came up, an announcement that had some people shaking their heads or kind of wondering, oh, really? The NBA will not randomly test players for marijuana this year. Ed Donahue has a bit of a report on this.
A policy will continue from last season during the coronavirus restart bubble at Walt Disney World. While the NBA won't test for marijuana, there will still be random testing for performance-enhancing products and what the league calls drugs of abuse, such as methamphetamine and cocaine. Decriminalizing marijuana has been a major topic at the government level for years and has been the case in the sports world as well. American sprinter Sha'Carri Richardson was left off the U.S. Olympic roster in Tokyo following a positive test for marijuana. More than half of states in the U.S. have decriminalized possessing small amounts of marijuana. I'm Ed Donahue.
This is where, on Friday when we discussed this, I was referred to as, quote, by myself and Cameron Jenkins agreed, an old curmudgeon, because my take on this is very simple. When I was an athlete, you could not take as simple as a cold medication, DayQuil, NyQuil, because that was viewed as a competitive advantage. I really am caught here with marijuana as not being something they're going to randomly test, because if you are calmer, which is what allegedly some would say on this, then that would give you a competitive advantage. And I just come from a time when I spent 15 years of my life playing sports and you know, not doing any kind of drug of that nature. I just think, why are we putting this so public? Because now do we have to worry about NBA players running around high playing basketball? I don't know if we needed to publicly put this out there like this, but I guess, yeah, as Cameron said, I'm an old curmudgeon and you know, maybe I need to get with the times. I'm not sure where to go on this one.
Well, I'm curious as to what it would have been like if they didn't publicize it. Like if they were doing it this way, no random testing, but didn't say anything, would that come across differently, Brock? Because yeah, like until you said it, I never thought about that angle of it. You know, but at the same time, because some of these, drugs, narcotics are being accepted for recreational use all around North America and beyond, I wonder if these are just conversations we're going to have more and more of. And of course, there's the resistance of people who didn't have to deal with this kind of stuff or have to dealt with it in a separate way as former athletes or, you know, having gone through the system differently. But it hasn't changed the fact that we're all using these things now, right?
Right. No, and it's very true. And, you know, it's just, you know, marijuana specifically is around us to the point that it's, you know, it's normal, quote unquote, yep, to see this because it's around and it's there. And again, I said this on Friday, if I had been an athlete around this time, maybe I have a different viewpoint because it's around us and it's legal. But as I say, I couldn't take anything to cure a cold. I had to be sick as a dog to play sports. So that's where I come from.
Brock Richardson hits us with the latest sports updates on Mondays. Plus, join him and the Neutral Zone gang at 4 p.m. Eastern right here on AMI Audio for the Neutral Zone, also available as a podcast. We have our ATW hit, and we'll see what's going on and preview that show tonight. Show, that is, after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.